The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, June 6th, D-Day.
Good morning.
Here in the world, 2025, and 7:05 in the morning. And the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring Compassion Community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. So welcome to our show here at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Free Fire Radio, your talk station, streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Let me see what other things about it. Oh, archives are in there. You can go back and listen to our very first show we ever did 15 years ago. Though why you would ever want to do that, I have no
idea. Well, you never know.
And Daddy David.
Daddy David!
Yep, I thought about going back every time we mention Bliss, my daughter, and just making little clippets of them.
I think you should.
For her.
Yeah.
So, there's a reason for archive. If you're on the show and you want to go back and listen when you were on 10 years ago, you can go find it.
Little Bliss.
So let's find out. How many days is she now?
I guess it's 5, but it's all a blur.
Bliss the blur. A new superpower.
Rub her little belly and her rubber belly and the gas goes away.
It works
for puppies, too.
Congratulations again.
Well, thank you.
Okay, amazing. Well, we're going to talk about D-Day here in a second. Well, what's the weather look
like? All right, triple digits today, folks. 100 degrees. Looks like that'll be our high. Tonight's overnight lows will be 71. Now, get ready because Saturday is hot again with 101. Sunday, 104. Monday coming back down to 101. Could you say
it's going to be sunny and hot for the rest of the
week? Yeah, I would say sunny and hot for the rest of the week, but we're in triple digits. Tuesday night, you know, the high on Tuesday is 99, so we're under on Tuesday, but you know you have to check it daily to see what happens. But, you know, I mean, we can still live at the 100. It gets up 110, 112, and the heat just lays there. It's really hard to get through it. But we've got a big weekend going on with all kinds of events that we're going to be talking about, giving tickets away as well. Good morning, everybody. It's Linda. Great to be back in the studio. We've got lots to share and discuss today. But first of all, let's do a shout out to our weather sponsor, and that's Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned down in Anderson. The Kenny family always bringing you the greatest prices, the greatest service. A veteran-owned, speaking of D-Day, company where they always give senior and veteran discounts. 365-7793 is the number to get a hold of Shasta Gas Propane. All right, here we are. Friday.
And we're here, of course, if it's Friday, June 6th. Well, it's Friday. We have Katrina.
Katrina from Haven Humane. Good morning.
And Pickles.
Good morning.
Is it Pickles?
It is Pickles.
And he is a cutie. He's 1 year old, and he's a pity mix.
Oh, yeah. Black and white pity.
Yeah.
With one white paw. And what did Sue say? Sue got up the news during her beautiful Sue McClain News Hour. She said, well, is his name Michael Jackson? And she said, Katrina went, what? Well, he's got one white paw. It's like the white glove. And you said that would be so cute.
Right? She should start helping us name our animals.
So tell us about Pickles.
So Pickles came to us as a stray a little over a month ago. He definitely was a little bit more on the shy side, a little tentative and, you know, being in a new place. But he's been really sweet with us from day one.
He came over and licked my hands and he's friendly. Yeah.
He seems to really love people. He's really fun. He's, you know, we mentioned he's a pity. He's definitely a smaller pity. He's about 45 pounds.
Yeah, he's a little pity.
Yeah, so he's a good size. The biggest thing I want to highlight about Pickles is that he is just a really well-mannered dog. Like right now he's just laying on the floor. He's kind of one that tricks you a little bit because in his kennel he's always jumping and barking and, you know, just kind of making a scene to where you're like, oh man, that dog's, he's going to be a lot. He's going to have a lot of energy. But then the second you take him out of his kennel, he just trots along next to you. He doesn't pull on the leash.
He's laying down.
He's kind of amazed all of us at the shelter just because of what, like a 180 he is when you see him in his kennel versus outside. And he does like to play here and there, but for the most part, he kind of just likes to lounge around with you. He mostly wants to be near you, wants to hang out. He definitely is not a very very high energy dog. He's definitely more of a low energy, cuddly, want to sit on the couch kind of dog.
Oh, well, that's kind of, for some people, that's fabulous. Who yeah. wants to have a pity mix, or that, you know, that you have to, you know, you feel that there's such activity that it's going to drive you mad.
Right. And yeah. especially with it being so hot, I know sometimes it's hard to know how to exercise your dog who has a lot of energy. So I think he would honestly be a good fit for pretty much any home because he's a good size. He's not going to be, you know, knocking over the little ones or anything. And he's really amazing with other dogs.
Okay.
He has taken part in our play group and played off leash with them, and he's had a really good time. So I do think he would just fit in pretty much anywhere.
I love these little terms. He has played partner play group. Okay. That sounds like Katrina, can you explain what partner play group is?
Yeah, so playgroup is something we do usually about twice a week. It is supervised by our behaviorist, and then our volunteers take part in it. And it's essentially where they pick out a few different dogs to come into a fenced yard and let them play together off-leash. Because if you don't know at Haven, we have very strict rules about keeping dogs on leash at all times, especially when, you know, we're walking our dogs and whatnot, and we typically don't let the dogs interact with each other off-leash like that. So it is a very amazing group, but it is very supervised for that reason. But it's a good way to get to see how dogs interact with each other, and it's a good way to also get them exercise. You know, they get to run around, they get to wrestle and play with each other. So doing well in that really does show us that they're extremely, extremely dog social.
Great. Great. And it also shows they're flexible. You know what?
Exactly.
Yeah, if you have a flexible dog, that's a great thing. That was a Buford big thing for us. And then when we came to you, to Haven Humane, you had put him in a group like that, and you have an animal behaviorist, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Behavioralist, who will sit with you and tell you what they've observed. And that's almost like a psychologist thing. Okay, this is what, you know, here's your X and O's or whatever it is. So I think that, we commend you for that. What else can we talk about to promote?
I just want to mention that now that it's going to be 100 degrees out there, and I posted this, and it's been shared, but when it's 77 out there, the ground temperature can be 125. When it's 87, it can be 143. So be looking, if you're walking your dog and it's 100 degrees out there, that pavement is extremely hot. So you check the ground before letting your dog walk on it, and you do that just by putting your hand on the sidewalk. And if it's too hot for your hand, it's too hot for them.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Would you agree with that?
100%. Definitely be careful.
Yeah.
Definitely when it's really hot, it's usually better, if you can, to walk them either really early in the morning or much later at night, safely, of course. Because, yeah, definitely something to keep in mind that we don't think about because we're wearing shoes all the time. So we don't have to feel the hot pavement, but they don't have that luxury.
I remember last summer seeing a dog that had shoes.
They do make those.
Yeah, I have seen dogs with shoes. But that's, you know, the thing is, the other things I see is somebody walking around with this huge Slurpee, which is making them cooler, but they're walking their dog on the sidewalk.
Great point, yeah.
Yeah, the dog, you know, you think because, you know, their feet are tough. They're not that tough.
No.
So be aware of that.
We should do a morning show just on the heat of what happens with your dog. I mean, really what happens. And they boil inside. And also that you can't just throw water on their neck. We think it, with us, it cools us down, but it's their
paws.
It's their paws. And their mouth, if I'm not mistaken. I don't even know if it's their mouth. They sweat through a certain, how they breathe.
Yeah, or they pant because they don't sweat.
Right.
Yeah, their regulation's interesting because it's so different than ours.
Yeah, I think people just don't understand that, especially when you see a black dog and it's 100, you know, with the heat on the black, just at 115, and you just want to pull over and please get off the pavement.
Exactly.
So anyway, thank you so much for joining us, and we love your little pickles, and we hope. How do people get to in touch with you?
You can always call us at 530-241-1653. You can also come down to the shelter. We're open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5. And if you come tomorrow, we are doing a free adoption event.
What?
So be sure to come check us out at the shelter, and we'll be at PetSmart as well from 11 to 3:30.
Really? That's big news. Did you hear that, Carl?
I did.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Katrina, from Haven Humane. We'll always appreciate you being on. And, of course, October 2nd, Bark, Wine, and Brew?
Yes.
Okay. Mark your calendars for that. Sells out.
There right? you go. Of course. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah.
And Pickles, good luck. Pickles is a good little dog. He's just laying here. And he's a cutie. He's got that cute face. Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
Into summer with the huge parking lot sale brought to you by Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles. Not only will the parking lot be filled with unique items, but inside the store you'll save extra as well. Beautiful brass, antique vases, jewelry, and sports memorabilia galore. Vintage clothing and signs. It's all waiting for you. June 14th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center off of I-5 in Anderson. Thanks, Memory Lane.
The only thing micro about this event are the wrestlers. Micromania returns for an action-packed event at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, June 14th. Tickets for this micro event start at $15 plus fee and include $10 in free slot play. This high-flying event for those under 5 feet tall sells out fast. Get your tickets today before they're gone. Must be 21 to attend. For tickets or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 18th Annual Taste of Reading 2025, Sunday, June 8th from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.org.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This season, Hunter Roofing is stepping up to the plate. As proud sponsors of Colt 45's baseball, we're cheering on every home run and keeping your home protected. From storm repairs to full replacements, trust the pros who bring quality to every job. Hunter Roofing, where quality meets the sky. Support local, keep your home in winning shape, and root for the Colt 45s. Visit HunterRoofing.org today.
We're doing the head bump, you know.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. here in the studios. Casey and I'm back here with my honey.
Got great
back
to be back.
Home. Yeah, June 6th, it's D-Day. 7:20 in the morning, and yeah, D-Day. 160,000 troops. Gosh, everything I had just kind of disappeared.
Well,
what happened to it?
Well, 81 years ago, the Normandy beaches witnessed a pivotal moment in World War II.
Here I am.
D-Day marked the state of Operation Overload. Did you realize that was called Operation Overload? Allied forces from the U.S., U.K., and Canada landed on 5 Normandy beaches. Despite heavy casualties, the operation led to France's liberation, and it paved the way to for the defeat of Nazi Germany.
4,500 Allied troops were killed on D-Day itself. Jeez. Now, in the battles after the landings at D-Day, there was a total of, for that bombing, it was 73,000 Allied forces were killed and 153,000 wounded. And the battle, especially Allied bombings, killed around 20,000 French civilians between June and August. But a lot of the Nazi armament and everything was in villages, and unfortunately, bombing and artillery and everything, there will be collateral, and I hate to say it, like it sounds cold, but it's collateral damage. And no matter how hard you try, and back there they didn't have the precise armaments that we have today. So, but if you've, we had the opportunity to go to Normandy several years ago, Ted Leidy and my sister and her husband, Ted and Lisa, and you and I, and my sister, Sandy and Steve.
And my parents.
And your parents.
And my brother.
And your brother and sister. That's right. We had the whole group
yes.
there. We walked across the beaches at Normandy. We brought home sand from there because Dad landed Normandy. And, it's hard to picture it in a way, except when you look at these very long, wide beaches and think about 5,000 ships involved in this and when they were landing. And the fact is that they had fainted in another direction, and Germany had put many of their troops in another area, and still the casualties were horrendous like that. And my father would talk about, oh gosh, he'd talk about the army, and he'd talk about walking through, his walking tour of Europe. He never talked about the landing. And I find myself saying I probably should have pushed him a little bit to talk about it, but it was a horrendous day to many people. Units coming in there, their landing crafts hit immediately when they landed with mortars. There's minefields and all these things, and going into the teeth of machine guns and artillery and this, and yet the Allied forces forced the entry. And if you see the movie Saving Private Ryan, how one American force, well, the Rangers went in and to take out the artillery there and suffered heavy casualties, only to find that the Germans had moved that artillery out of there, but they still took the Point Hawk. It's the 81st anniversary, and there's very few of our veterans that are still alive.
Well, according to this article that, along with it's out of Economic Times, under the cover of Operation Overload, tens of thousands of soldiers from several countries, including U.S., U.K., and Canada, landed on 5 different beaches in Normandy, France, Omaha, Gold, Juno, and here's one I haven't heard of, Sword.
Yeah, Sword. I think that was the Brits up to the north. Okay.
So the Allies started plotting D-Day over a year before it really happened, and they used a lot of military trickery, like you were saying, to make the Germans confused about when and where the invasions would happen. So that was brilliant.
They actually built a fake army several divisions. It was all fake. They used wooden artillery pieces. They used the comms. It was the big thing where they were communicating among themselves, knowing the Germans were going to be listening, and it was all fake. It was totally fake units and everything.
10,300 people from these nations lost their lives during the landing. 570,000 tons of supplies, 148,000 vehicles, and more than 850,000 men had touched down on the Normandy coast by June 30th.
Yeah. And the battle was still going on. If you ever get a chance, and I would, you know, if you get a chance to go to France, and or, you know, there's actually trips that go to Normandy. It's not just the American cemetery, but they also have other cemeteries there. And the German cemetery is all in black stones. All the markers are in, you know, are black granite. But the French in Normandy, you're going to see more American flags than you can imagine because we have our tiffs with the French, but the ones around there in Normandy and those southern provinces remember how the Americans led the way. And it wasn't just Americans. It was British and Canadian and French also that came ashore that they liberated their country.
And why, and it says in this particular, what exactly does D-Day mean? It simply stands for Day-Day and was used by the military to indicate the start date of any major operation.
Yeah. D plus one, D plus two, D okay. plus three. And it can be D minus one, D minus two. Like on D-Day, like D minus one could have been Navy forces coming in there to destroy beach obstacles. That could have gone at D minus one. Of course, the airborne troops, the largest airborne operation next to Arnhem, was launched, and many of the troops there, the 101st, the 82nd, because of the heavy flak there, didn't land where they were supposed to. And so what did they do, as Americans do? They just teamed up no matter what their units were, and they kept attacking. They knew what their objectives were, but they were just mixed up everywhere. And on the landing beach, it's the same thing. You know, because of the intense fire, sometimes they would be landed anywhere from 100 yards to half a mile away from where they're supposed to be. But everybody knew what the objective was. The leadership knew what the objective was, so they kept moving toward their objectives, whether it's bridges or positions there to attack.
So if you were ever to define something really that was a pivotal point, the question here is, why does it matter and why does the world still remember it? Well, Hitler's despotic rule came to an end on D-Day, a pivotal operation in World War II that also marked the Western Allies' greatest triumph. Normandy was taken over by the Allies, which allowed them to move into Northwest Europe. France was freed as a result of Operation Overlord's success, which also made it possible for the Allies to combat the Germans in Nazi-occupied Europe. So it opened up. They opened up. Now it was the pivotal point of.
Yeah, they had invaded.
Yes.
And up until then, Germany had controlled all of Europe, except, of course, Russia. And so what this did was it opened the door for Allied forces to come in and start pushing Germany back, which is what happened. And over a year, somewhat over a year later, they had destroyed Germany, and they had to, in 1945, surrendered. They had no choice. They had been totally, their military had been destroyed, their factories had been destroyed, their cities had been destroyed. There was nothing left.
Well, it's pretty amazing when you do go to Normandy and you looked out over and saw the beach. Now that's where Dad landed.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Dad landed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine as a young boy, a young man, that the person to the left of you and the person to the right of you could, you know, you're running over dead people to the left, to the right. I mean, they're just amazing. We saw with the bunkers of where the Germans were, and
yeah.
What were your chances? It was just amazing not to get hit.
Every person was a hero that day.
Mm. We actually went inside the bunkers.
Yeah. No. They're, you know, heavy cement bunkers, would take a direct hit.
With little slits where they could put their guns.
Put the machine guns in there. Yeah. It was the courage of the Americans and the Allied forces. I mean, that's all it was. I mean, how protective was their, uniform shirt? Because they weren't wearing flak jackets back then when they went up against it. So, okay. D-Day. Something we should remember. It changed the war. It was the beginning of the end for Hitler and his despotic rule there. Okay, 7:30. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Gosh, Cornerstone Community Bank is soon to be Plumas Bank in their merger that's going to take place in the beginning of July, which means instead of having 4 great branches, there's going to be 19 great branches that you can do business with. And I talked to the people that I do, you know, this downtown branch. I know everybody in there and all that. No changes. The same group of people are there. If anything, somebody did move in extra, and it was Jamie, from, Casey's wife is down, and she says, yeah, it's a little bit bigger here. And she handles her commercial business and all this. But we're looking forward to, stretching our bank system.
It's just a very short time before it actually officially
beginning of July, and we've been doing business with Cornerstone. We expect the same great business with Plumas, and we'll be right back.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover. Tomorrow, just you wait and see.
Like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The only thing micro about this event are the wrestlers. Micromania returns for an action-packed event at Twin River Resort and Casino on Saturday, June 14th. Tickets for this micro event start at $15 plus fee and include $10 in free slot play. This high-flying event for those under 5 feet tall sells out fast. Get your tickets today before they're gone. Must be 21 to attend. For tickets or complete details, visit WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Twin River Resort and Casino.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Cinerama presents Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay in Redding on Saturday, June 21st, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Join us for this unforgettable 21-plus event featuring over 20 craft breweries, live music, games, delicious food, and more.
Next to the Sundial Bridge along the Sacramento River.
With cold beer, great company, and outdoor fun.
All proceeds support Turtle Bay's educational programs and exhibitions.
Don't miss Bruised by the Bridge at Turtle Bay, Saturday, June 21st. Get your tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. My sweetheart Linda's back. And
was that Buck Owens?
George Jones,
Finally Friday. Okay.
Friday.
I like it.
Okay, oh, now, man. I want to remind everybody that Dignity Health and Redding's West Rotary are going to present the 18th Annual Taste of Redding 2025, Sunday, June 8th, from noon till 4 at the Redding City Sculpture Park. We have given away tons of tickets. And yes, I have two more tickets to give away.
Oh, wow.
Two more tickets.
Two more tickets. These are $50 tickets, right?
To the, $50 a piece. To the third caller. Okay, third caller, 530-605-4567. It's going to be a wonderful event. Linda and I'll be there. Wandering around, eating and drinking the finest food.
Might
and
even
beverages.
Try to fly some cornhole.
No, you know what? They do have the game going.
Yes,
there. Yeah, it might be in there, but they got music. They got it all. So you've got to be the third caller, though, and but you got to pick these up today. Yeah, you got to pick these up today. You got to pick them up now, and
that's right.
By noon. Now, the only other thing you could do is pick them up on Sunday morning, because we have shows going Sunday morning starting at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have people here. So that could be the second way, but probably the best thing to do
is to get them by today.
Third. Okay, now let's talk about Texas. You were in Texas for what, 7 days?
Close to 8 days. Okay, so what happened is it started off by, I have a friend of mine who moved from Orange County.
It's more than a friend. She's been like a
sister. She's my best friend. Yeah, she's my best friend, and we've traveled together. We actually joined the Gold Diggers together. So we were buddies. We'd be like my sorority sister. I mean, we did it together. We performed and toured and had all the experiences. So anyway, she moved from Orange County to Prosper, Texas, I think 5 years ago. It was right when COVID. It was like during like all of a sudden the breakdown.
They moved from where? Newport Beach?
Yeah, because I remember it's the day I went into the hospital. They were moving. So, and we know that it was shutdown time. So they moved from the Newport. Well, actually, it was Huntington Beach area.
Huntington Beach.
That doesn't matter. So they moved. And, boy, those tickets are super popular. We're getting a lot of calls.
They are. Well, I gave away a bunch of tickets this week.
Great.
So, I'm sorry, people. Those are our last two tickets, too.
Yeah,
okay, so now but Texas, you know, so many people are moving to Texas.
Okay,
and
well,
did you notice that growth and building and all that?
Well, she picked me up at the airport, and it was
at the Dallas airport,
because she said I prefer to go out of love. Well, I didn't know there were two airports. You know, you bought the ticket, and I didn't know there were like two airports. Anyway, long story short is that Love Field, supposedly, what I found out later, is they're going to push all of, and the airport is completely under construction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, try to find your way into an exit and an entry. And we circled the airport like twice just trying to get out. And then it costs you to actually just drive into the airport.
It costs to drive in.
And I heard the reason why is because people were using it as a thoroughfare to make shortcuts to go from one place to the other.
Okay.
So it's like $2 or $3 just to drive in to pick somebody up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. And so that was also like try to put your ticket in, even though she has, you know, because there's toll roads everywhere in Texas. Yeah. So she's got the sticker on her car, but it didn't work at the airport. But anyway, so she picks me up and we drive. And construction. She says, yeah, there's construction everywhere. So we get to Prosper, Texas, which is probably about 45 minutes from the airport. And it's all new. It reminds me of, and where two things are coming out of my mouth, because they're building, it's like Frisco, Texas. If you look at Frisco, Texas, because they originally, when they sold their condo, they did very well with the sale of their condo where they could buy two homes in Texas mm-hmm. for the price of selling their condo. So they have one rental that's a fallback. They'll always have the rental. And they bought the rental in Frisco first. And they contacted a realtor and went and looked like, I don't know, at 9, 10 houses. And then they flew back to, they just knew that they were going to move to Texas. They're very involved with the church. They're very involved with the programs they're involved with in Texas, as they were in.
So, but Frisco, Texas used to be
in Orange County.
Used to be a smaller place.
So that's just turned into, like, if you look at the freeway coming down, the 118 and when you look at the spaghetti freeways, that's what Frisco looks like now. If you look at the picture of Frisco on the, if you're on your computer and you look up Frisco. So Prosper is in the middle of building a bunch of, widening the roads, building overpasses. And so we drove, what I wanted to do was, you know, get in a car and visit all these little 20 minutes away from Prosper, which would be little towns. McKinney was one. Salina was one. And then I think it was you that said Salina is the fastest growing city in the United States. So what's happening is when you're driving, you're seeing what was once, you know, farming area, ranching area. On both the left and the right side of the road, you're seeing developments that are happening and for sale acreage. They're all for sale. And all of these new developments are coming up with these 4,000 square foot big brick homes on these lots. And so it reminds.
And they're bigger lots, right?
They're.
Acre? Two?
No.
Oh.
No. They're not. What's going on?
Is that Christina, our Christina?
Hi, Christina!
Yes.
Hi! You're in Austin!
Greetings.
How are you? Todd!
I am doing great. I miss you guys so much. And I was trying to call already a few times, but it looks like you have so much listeners and so much callers, so it's so hard to reach our station.
We were giving away tickets. You know how it is around here when you give away tickets?
I know, but you were talking about taxes, and I'm actually calling to say I actually moved to Texas because it didn't really work out in Oregon. So I'm in Austin.
Yes, you're in Austin.
We argued about that yesterday. Somebody said, well, I think she's in Texas. I said, no, she moved to Portland. But then we said we had not heard from you, so you are in Texas now.
Yes, since, like, you know how every kid has to call with some good news. I was not actually having any good news to call and kind of say I have succeeded, but finally I did, and I'm able to call back to my hometown and say what's going on.
Good.
And actually, I really love Texas, and I feel it's kind of really similar to Reading, so I'm more happier here.
All right.
And what Linda was talking on the air as well, it's really true that the prices are really nice, and then being in that town, it's really, really cool.
Well, Austin is like the home of Music City, and of course you have universities there, so you got a thriving cultural district in Austin, very much happening. If I'm not mistaken, I think Pat Karch has relatives in Austin. Has he introduced you yet?
Yes, that's true. And I already met with them, with both them, his daughters. They're really nice. And we actually met, and they went to some concerts. And I also trying to go to every, like, Friday to some live event. Because it's true, the music here is so nice, so strong, and the culture is just wild. Everybody's so talented.
Oh, we're happy you're happy.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that things are working out for you, because every time we lose one of our children, we always want to make sure that they're okay.
I am okay, but I was waiting to kind of have what to say. to not go with bad news. So if I finally succeed and I'm here in Austin, everything is fine. I got a great job. I'm working with robots and health industry.
In the what industry?
In the health industry.
Oh, in the health industry. Working with the, okay.
Yes, with robots. So they created like a robot that is helping nursing to deliver from point A to point B medicine or different like labs. So I'm helping to manipulate with this robot, kind of to go from troubleshoot him and make him run well.
Okay. Well, good. Are you happy?
Yes, I am. But happier to hear you. And I'm listening to the radio station every single day. So
well, so good to hear your voice. And I just got back from, it was a, I feel like I was gone for 8 days. But you know how long it is when you travel. It's just, you can't just get from here to there that easy.
My way to Austin was so hard and so different. So yes, that's why I understand how the travel goes. But I'm really happy to hear you. And I won't take so much of your time. I feel it's a break time.
Oh, well, you know it's break time because what's a producer? Always a producer.
Okay, sweetheart.
Thanks for calling
in.
Please send us your address. We'd love to keep up with you.
For sure. I will do that. Okay. And I will call maybe after the show.
Oh, sounds great.
To get more.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon. You take care.
All right. Austin, Texas. That is really.
And she says, I know it's break time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is a vibrant musical. I mean, there are so many talented. Well, you're Austin City Lights, you know, you can just tune that on anytime and hear that, you know. And when I was in Nashville, a lot of the people I knew that were players that became my good friends were from Austin. Anyway, take a break. We'll be right back.
This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, voted best in the North State 3 years in a row. The only full-service jewelry store in town with a watch repairman, a stone cutter, and designers. Great selections of jewelry at very, very fair prices, and they're just really good people. Been there for over 30 years.
Best
locally owned,
State.
Locally operated. Yeah, they're a good group of people down there. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land, Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. It's the 50th anniversary sale now, all through springtime. With all shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger, 30% off. We have a good selection of spring shade bloomers, such as azaleas and camellias, and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. All shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger are 30% off. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course, and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Get ready to experience an unstoppable force and the youngest record-breaking country star, Gabby Barrett, in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, June 28th. Saddle up and boogie down to number one hits like The Good One and Pick Me Up. Tickets for this event start at just $40 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Yeah, welcome back to Friday. You know, in America, you know how. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and the Bot, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. You know how if your wife or your loved one leaves you for a couple of days, I mean, this is the longest we've ever been apart, was 8 days.
In 18 years.
Since we've been married. And, so you miss certain things about them when they're gone. Other things you don't miss at all. Have you ever noticed that? Some things you just don't miss at all. But a lot of things you do miss. So, anyway,
yes,
we were just talking about each other.
We did. Yeah. So then after going back to Texas, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk about, you know, it was the first time I had been in Texas except for the fly through. So Prosper, Texas.
Not the first time you've been in Texas.
Well, I don't really recall.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever hung around, been in Texas.
Really?
Dallas maybe at the airport, but we never performed in Texas. So a lot of my traveling and touring I did was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And we did Evansville, Indiana. We did Kentucky, but we didn't do Texas.
I'll be darned.
Let's see. So anyway, going back.
So you haven't been to the Alamo. You haven't been. Well, you haven't been up to Dallas or any of those places.
No. And so, well, Dallas Airport, but drove through Dallas as my girlfriend took me around. But then after 3 days of being with her, and we went to Salina, and we went to McKinney, and we went to little towns that were around here, and they're all cute little towns that had squares, and there's a younger generation moving in and doing coffee houses. Oh, we went to Pilot Point,
which is a lake,
right? But they have a town square again, and then a history of that town square and what people did, cotton gins, farming. Some of it was lumber, but nothing like here. And I really missed California. I missed here. So then she dropped me back off in Dallas, where I met up with two other girlfriends. And we went to Canton, Texas, but first we went to the stockyards.
The Fort Worth stockyards.
And I paid $10 to take a picture of me sitting on a longhorn. I had to. Couldn't pass it up.
A longhorn steer
that was there in their town square.
I've got a photo of it.
Then we said, and they were so nice, and this is my girlfriend I was
with.
What were
the people like?
Everybody was so nice. It's really, Texas is God, country, and family. God, family, country. God, country. Prayer. everywhere you go. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the people I was with. So then we went to the biggest, one of the great takeaways besides the fact, you know, it was just exploring and being with friends and seeing wonderful things. The John Wayne Museum.
In Fort Worth.
In Fort Worth. I could not believe how fabulous. And we were there and how nice. They just sat there. The gal who I was with, her family just sat, because they'd been before, but no, I had to go for 2 hours. I could have spent the entire day there because I took so much video and pictures to send to you because
yeah.
It is a phenomenal, if you're a John Wayne fan, the picture, just the exhibits, it's just great. And then we ate and we watched the cattle drive right there, right next to us. There are no bars, stand behind these bars.
Nope. Cattle just walking down the,
right, Longhorn.
Yep.
So we did that, and we drove to Canton,
and it was
Texas.
More than like two or three. It looked like 20 or 30.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So Canton, Texas is in East Texas. Canton is known for its first Monday trade days. According to various sources, the tradition began with district court meetings held on the first Monday of each month, or with the monthly visit of neighbors during the days of the Confederate States of America. The custom began with a swapping of surplus stock by barter and grew to include casual bargaining for a swapping of dogs, antiques, junk, and donkeys on a 30-acre area of grounds. It is so popular that Canton goes from a town of 5,100 to a town of 30,000.
Once a month.
Each first Monday weekend, which is why we were there.
And it's there, I mean, it's like 400 acres now,
making
right?
it the largest flea market in the world.
Yeah, 400 acres. Now think about this. How can you walk through 400 acres? Well, how did you even see
it?
This? Did you have a wagon? Did you
we had a wagon, yes.
That
we
you
had,
pulled behind
we
you?
We had one of those carts, like a metal cart.
Yeah.
And thank God, because we did that. And we were gone for maybe, I think we did, the steps were like 60,000 or something a day. We did 7 hours on the first day. Then the next day, which is Sunday, we went to church. Oh, my God, it was great. Went to First Baptist Church. And you were saying, no, it wasn't anything like that, but it was in Canton, Texas.
I was teasing,
really great.
About the
and then when we got out, there was a mini tornado.
Oh, my gosh.
Mini tornado. A mini tornado, because we went home to change, thinking we were going to go to the flea market you can go out to this market for 4 days. So we were going to change our clothes, go to the flea market, and all of a sudden the dark clouds and the wind and the rain, and it was intense, and then it passed over, and then when it finally passed over, we said, well, let's go to the flea market. So we got in the car, and, I mean, there were trees that had been, you know, uprooted.
Wow.
You know, telephone poles down. In fact, our electricity went out. We're like, well, so power lines were out.
But the flea market kept going.
Yeah, but I mean, the flea market was in puddles, and there were people. One woman had like a scrape on her elbow. Somebody else, because the poles imagine, even though some of the flea market people, or what do you want to call them, vendors are under, like if you were at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And out in the parking lot, because rows and rows and rows of plants and furniture and everything you could possibly imagine.
You could buy anything there.
Anything.
Horses?
But they do have what they called, it's Dog City. And they have, a lot of people wouldn't like this, but they had every kind of dog you could possibly imagine that was ready to, puppies, every breed.
Wow.
Then turkey, then chickens, then pigs. On this row, it's just, yep, Dogtown. Oh, no, it's called Dogtown. Anyway, so it was a great experience, and this is why it's so important to, if you can travel, go out and see. But like I said, God and country and family is just the number one thing, it's all about in Texas.
Everybody's
going to come down by 10 o'clock.
All right, okay. Excellent.
The second thing is Congressman Doug Emhoff is going to be our guest at 8:05 or around there. You know how Doug is when he calls.
Okay, I've got another beautiful thing to share with you right now. And this is going to be any caller right now. I've got 4 more tickets, and you know it closes this weekend, June 8th. 4 tickets, family pack, really great time to go out right now with your family. Give us a call, and David will be taking your name and your number
and
for Glowing Wild.
And we're doing away with that, David. We're just doing away with your break at 8 o'clock. Okay, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The latest jobs report sparked a rally on Wall Street, the Dow soaring more than 500 points at times this morning. America's employers created 139,000 jobs last month, and that was more than economists were expecting. The unemployment rate, unchanged, 4.2%. President Trump is standing by his budget and tax cut bill, which one-time ally Elon Musk has called an abomination.
I'd rather have him criticize me than the bill, because the bill is incredible. It's the biggest cut in the history of our country. We've never cut. It's about $1.6 trillion in cuts. It's the biggest tax cut. Tax, you would say, people's taxes will go way down. But it's the biggest tax cut in history. It's we are doing things in that bill that are unbelievable.
The bill's fate currently in the hands of the Senate, where some Republicans oppose certain elements of the bill. Ukraine says Russia has unleashed one of the largest aerial attacks of the three-year war, missiles and drones raining down on the capital, among other places. BBC's Paul Adams is there.
The people here of Kiev have experienced many, many, many nights, just like the one we had last night. They spent a good chunk of it, like we did, in shelters, occasionally venturing out to listen to the sound of anti-aircraft fire, and occasionally very, very large explosions indeed. Just looking at the list of munitions recorded by the Ukrainians, they say that 36 cruise missiles were among the weapons that were used, along with drones and ballistic missiles.
The Wall Street rally rolls on, the Dow up 459 points, the Nasdaq is ahead 257, the S&P is trading 65 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, host of the Mike Gallagher Show here, and when it comes to mortgages, I only trust the team that's helped me and my family more than once, Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans. These guys are friends, believers. They built a company on biblical values that actually puts you first. In today's economy, with everything costing more, you need a lender who can help you make smart, strategic moves when it comes to real estate. Need cash for home improvements? Thinking about a HELOC or a refi to consolidate debt? Well, Fellowship Home Loans can help you do it faster and for less. Why? Because they're a direct lender, not a broker. No middle man. No unnecessary fees. That means fewer hoops, less waiting, and real answers from real people who care. Whether you're buying, selling, refinancing, or just exploring your options, Fellowship Home Loans will tailor everything to your unique needs. Get started at fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE. 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans. Mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers. DBA Fellowship Home Loans. Equal housing lender. NMLS number 819382.
The Israeli military has unleashed a ferocious attack on what it identified as terrorist targets in the southern suburbs of Beirut.
The Israeli military described the locations as underground facilities used by Hezbollah to produce drones. Footage appears to show secondary explosions, suggesting that ammunition was being stored in at least one of the locations hit. What the Israeli military haven't explained is why this attack had to happen at night, shortly after 10 o'clock. Israel has carried out frequent airstrikes across Lebanon on targets it says are linked to Hezbollah.
That's the BBC's Hugo Bashega. North Korea started repairing a 5,000-ton class destroyer. It was damaged during a botched launching ceremony in late May. That triggered a furious response from dictator Kim Jong-un. He called the failure a criminal act. News and analysis, townhall.com. Well, not only is it an ugly phenomenon, it's actually a dangerous one.
Toxic seaweed is shattering records and overwhelming beaches around the Caribbean. Last month, the seaweed grew to over 37 million tons, and the amount is expected to grow even more this month. Smaller amounts also appeared in the Florida Keys, southeastern Florida beaches, the Mississippi Delta, and the Texas coast. Some resorts in the Caribbean are placing nets and buoys off the coastline to prevent the seaweed from covering their beaches. Tayshia Stevens reports.
It was this day in 1944, a turning point in the Second World War. Nearly 160,000 Allied troops landed in Normandy, France, on D-Day. They launched Operation Overlord, liberating German-occupied Western Europe.
More than 4,400 Allied troops lost their lives on D-Day, and that included 2,501 Americans. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, June the 6th, it's National Donut Day, but it's also, of course, even more important is it's the 81st anniversary of D-Day. 8:05 in the morning, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring Compassion Community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. David's our producer, and Susan is on the line.
Good morning, and we're talking with Susan Eastman from Stifel Investments. Good morning, Susan. What's happening on Wall Street?
Well, good morning. There's a very positive day on Wall Street this morning after a positive jobs report. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 475 points at 42,797. The S&P 500 is up 67 points at 6,007. And the NASDAQ Composite trading higher up 259 at 19,557. Active stocks this morning, Applied Digital Corp up $2.17, trading at $14.94 per share. Tesla positive $18 at $302.68. NVIDIA up $2.49, trading at $142.49. And Planetshare up $4.70 at $124.62. Over in the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 4.476%. Over to commodities, gold is down $33 an ounce at $3,327. Silver up 21 cents at $35 an ounce. And crude oil is priced at $64 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments, Stifel Nicolaus & Company. Member SIPC and NYSC for KCNR.
Whoa.
Don't run off. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Are you?
I've never been as busy in my life.
Oh, really? Okay, busy.
Yeah, it's just really positive, and people all want to be participating, but yet cautious because there's always something on the sidelines that causes concern.
Well, I mean, I wonder what that could be.
It's an interesting time. A recession. Even though the jobs report was positive, there's still some concerns about slowing growth.
Of course.
I see it around town. Yeah. You know, when I'm out, I see things slowing down at restaurants and
banks
look slow and things are different.
Yeah.
But we just got to maintain a positive attitude.
We're in it to win it. We're in it to win it. I love that. So that's Stifel. S-T-I-F-E-L.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot, Susan.
She's located in Park Marina Drive. She does wonderful. I mean, she's, you know, she has helped guide me and us in so many ways. That's Susan Eastman. Again, she's First Vice President of Investments. Give her a call at 530-244-7199. All right. So let's go to the weather real fast. We've got triple digits. It's 76 degrees currently. If you're just tuning in, we're going to have about 100 degrees today with our overnight lows. Clear skies throughout the week, and the weekend coming up. Of course, we've got, you know, the ending weekend of Glowing Wild. We've given those tickets away. We've got the Taste of Reading happening and all kinds of First Friday tonight begins. So overnight lows tonight of 71. Tomorrow calls are 101. And Saturday night, 73. Sunday, 104. And Monday, 101. Clear and warm skies in front of us. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated out of Anderson by the Kinney family, three generations and growing. 365-3793, where they give veterans and seniors discounts. What do you have in your mind there?
Okay. And on the line is Congressman Doug DeMoffitt. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Doug.
Morning. How are y'all?
Good. How y'all? Just got back from Texas, y'all. So, yeah, that just tunes right in.
Righto.
Right.
Okay.
The,
I just left the House floor where I did our, 1 minute speech of the day on the 81st anniversary of D-Day.
Oh.
We have addressed that this morning, of course. My father landed at Normandy on D-Day.
Oh, man. Which beach?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I was thinking Omaha for a long time, but then my sister
Omaha
and I
was the worst one.
My dad would talk about his experiences in the Army, but he never talked about that day. It was interesting. And now, you know, not knowing about PTSD back then, I can see where maybe there was, he had some things going on too. As most people do. And I just heard from Paige, who said he is walking back to the floor, will be calling momentarily.
That's fantastic.
And you already called by the time I got it.
She was pretty worried that I wasn't going to be on time, you know, and that everybody'd be in trouble, you know, with the Marine and the punctuality of the Marine.
Hey, so many questions.
But I just told the person I was walking with, who's actually a Reading kid, that I turned on and the ads were still running. I was still listening to the ads. So, like, now you owe me 2 minutes.
Yeah, wow. You know, because Susan Eastman calls in with the Market Minute on Fridays. And then I hear the phone ring again, and I thought, well, and here your name appeared on our whiteboard here.
Hey, on the whiteboard, okay.
On the whiteboard. Congressman, what kind of impact, since the bromance between Musk and Trump seems to be over, what kind of impact is that going to have?
What a pain in the rear that deal.
Yeah, I mean,
oh,
this,
my gosh.
This is just kind of really weird.
Open up my computer and it's just bam everywhere. So you're right there.
Oh, come on, people. Gee whiz. You know, I mean, Trump's acting like Trump and Elon's acting like Trump, you know? I mean, and we love Trump. We love Trump, but gee whiz, can we just be nice to each other? When somebody leaves your office, leaves your team, you know, you don't have to destroy them because they chose to leave. In this case, it wasn't. The 130 days as being a special government employee is, you know, how that works.
Uh-huh.
That was the timing on that. So, I don't know. And they're both just boats, search and destroy. It's just really, really maddening because our side had a heck of a lot of momentum for the stuff we're trying to do. Now, like, oh, we must have gotten too far out ahead of the other team here, so we have to help sandbag ourselves with this stuff. Yeah, I'm pretty annoyed by it.
Well, I think a lot of people are because you see a lot of things happening that seem to be going in a positive manner, and then to end up like this, and it's like, oh, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like having your state championship football team, all of a sudden your quarterback and your primary running back just turn around and, you know, find out they're dating the same girl. I mean, it's just stupid.
Or they got caught with alcohol before the bowl game, you know, or something stupid like that, right?
Yeah.
Just
you expect a little bit more from the leadership.
Well, you know.
Well, obviously, who does Trump listen to? Who does President Trump listen to, Congressman? I mean, do you know? Does he have that inner circle?
I've asked several people that over the years that I thought were pretty close to him. I think he listens to Trump.
Hmm.
I mean, others advise him along the way, but ultimately, he's his last own counsel. Hmm. Which, okay, I get that with a lot of us. I mean, I listen to a lot of stuff and go with my instinct at the end, but I'm influenced by good advice, good information, you know, good data, whatever. Because heck, I don't claim to know it all, you know, on any of this stuff. But
yeah,
your belief system, your belief system will override stuff that doesn't make sense or stuff that doesn't add up or information that's incomplete. Then you finally have to go, okay, what's my instinct on it and what is it? And when you're in an elected position, how did you represent yourself to the voters who said, okay, we'll buy what you're selling there and give you, you know, 2 more years in office with that? So, I mean, ultimately, you have to make some judgment decisions on it, but that's all fine. You know, anybody that is voting right or signing a bill for a particular reason and they lay it out, okay, I get the logic. Even people that oppose me, like, I hope they at least say, well, at least he has a reason for that vote. But this stuff here of, you know, working together so closely and doing some pretty amazing things the first, you know, 4 months here.
Yeah.
And now having to just have this ugly, You know, and I've seen several people say, like, well, don't believe everything the media is saying, right? They, of course, they want to depict this as worse as it can, but it is hard to deny what the tweets are saying and what the things that are actually being said are with each other. Like, you guys, can you just hold back? You know, I learned a long time ago that the words that escape your mouth, you don't ever take them back. You mm-hmm. can't put them back in the bottle. So when you say nasty words or stupid things or whatever, those are, you know, if you insult somebody or you say harmful things to someone, once that gets out in the air, you don't ever put it back, and they don't maybe ever really forget it, even if you ask them for forgiveness and apologize and all those things. They don't quite forget that you said that about them the first time. Right?
No, you never forget it. No.
And as much as you can say, oh, yeah, I'm okay with you now, but it's like, why did they say that in the beginning? They said it for a reason to begin with, you know. Or were they drunk, or, you know, whatever, but I don't know. In vino veritas, I think, is what...
In Winder's Truth. Yep.
Doc Holliday said, right?
In Winder's Truth. Yeah, well, you know what? That is absolutely true. Some people will say things when they're inebriated, and that happened one time at a dinner party we were at when somebody said something, and that was quite interesting, and it was... And I thought about it, and I said, do you really believe that? And they did, so things changed. Sir, we have to take a two-minute break, and we come back. I'd sure like to talk about the big, beautiful bill. And is it true it's adding $2 trillion to the debt?
We'll cover it when you get back.
Okay. I just thought I'd throw that one out there. Okay, let's take a couple minutes, and we'll be right back with the congressman.
Like only we can, love on the weekend, love on the weekend. I'm coming up and I'm loving every minute of it.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Get ready to experience an unstoppable force and the youngest record-breaking country star, Gabby Barrett, in the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Saturday, June 28th. Saddle up and boogie down to number one hits like The Good One and Pick Me Up. Tickets for this event start at just $40 plus fees. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. And on the phone is Congressman Doug LaMalfa. And you know what, Congressman? It was refreshing in the, not that you're not like this, but in the first segment when we're talking about the bromance breaking up and your thoughts on it. It was kind of like, oh my God. We were talking about it going, Oh, I mean, how'd you like to be at, I mean, there you are. I mean, you're at, you know, you're maybe not at that pinnacle spot, but you're really close in there and watching this happen. And it's like, can somebody just slap them?
Well, yeah, I mean, really, I mean, like you're leading the Daytona 500 and say, hey, why don't I just take my car and scuff it up against the wall for a minute so maybe I'll get a flat tire or, you know, the oil cooler will be blocked. You know, I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
So you guys, we're doing, and it's, we already have so much hostile press and the Dems lying on the floor all day long or lying in committee about the food stamp program known as SNAP or as under about Medicare / Medicaid and Medi-Cal, you know, I mean, hey, you know, on Medicaid, Newsom, which is known as Medi-Cal here, Newsom, you want to give $12 billion of it to illegal immigrants, and then that's the same amount as the state deficit is $12 billion. And the Latino caucus and the legislature thought, well, we need to raise taxes to cover that debt, to cover that gap, you know? I mean, it's just, and so instead of us pointing out the bad stuff going on there, no, let's have a Polish firing squad, okay? No offense meant to the Polish.
Well, too late for that.
Well, I endured all the Italian jokes back in the 70s, so it's just
okay. It goes around. Okay, well, let's the big beautiful bill. It adds trillions of dollars to the debt.
Well, okay.
Is this true?
This is a scoring game here a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. Okay, I just want to. Yeah.
Now here's how the Congressional Budget Office does things. Okay.
Uh-huh.
They will score the income to the federal government as if the tax plan that we did in 2017, the tax cuts back then, expires. Okay. So if that tax plan expires, then a whole bunch of middle income and upper middle income people and others will see a tax increase somewhere around 22 to even as much as 37% increase.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be the boomerang of allowing them to expire means tax increases for regular folks. It means all the good pieces where you don't have to track every single deduction here because it gave a large standard deduction for folks. You know, the standard deduction for 90% of people was larger than all them adding up all their little receipts from, you know, the doctor, this, that, everything else.
Yeah, we use that, of course. Yeah.
So people benefited from that a lot. They didn't have to do so much TurboTax anymore because it was a lot easier. That was part of our goal back in 2017 the first time. So a portion of those are expiring due to the way they had to write it back at the time. So we have to renew that. And we didn't get it done last year. It has to get done this year. So CBO has already scored that money as if it's expiring. And so they're scoring that $2.4 trillion as adding on debt. And, yes, we are in a situation where we keep adding debt every year. Massive amounts of spending starting in the COVID era through the whole Biden era have put us in a spot where about $2.1 or $2.2 trillion annual shortage income, you know, the deficit every year is about that. If we don't start moving the ball in the other direction, that's what we're attempting to do. This big, beautiful bill, as well as prioritize things that are going to make the country stronger and safer with our economy, with our borders, and incentivizing companies and corporations and manufacturers to come back. So there's a lot of really good things that make perfect sense for our country in it, but it ain't perfect. There's things we don't like about it, but we do have to be able to get it through a narrow majority in the House and a narrow majority in the Senate. The senators have a little different view of the world than the House members do, and you got a couple of moderate ones over there could blow it up any time, you know. So but let me talk about the $2.4 trillion.
Okay,
that's it's scored as being over 10 years. Okay, and I'll just say to you and the listeners there. So much of this talk around here drives you crazy, too. It's like, well, this will save, you know, a particular bill, a particular line item. Well, this will do X and Y over 10 years. Like, well, tell me what it's going to do in 1 year or 2 years. Because so often around here, both sides play some of that game, is that the real savings are backloaded on year 7, 8, 9, 10. And so we can get by easily the first couple years. You know, the hard discipline it'll take is always loaded towards the end of the 7, 8, 10 years. kind of like, you know, your principal on a house is loaded up on the last few years of the of your 30-year loan,
yeah.
You know, and you're paying just almost all interest for the first few, and like I like that. So they say it's $2.4 trillion over 10 years is what it will add to the deficit if we don't take the money from the people at the current rate of taxation, if we allow it to go back to the old rate of taxation, and they don't get that money that they've already spent in their minds at CBO. That happens with other issues too, where they'll score money to the government that hasn't really happened as already their money when we're trying to put the savings back. Because I still have this crazy notion that what people earn starts out being theirs to begin with. It's not the government's money that you're somehow allowed to keep a portion of. It's yours. If you didn't work, if you didn't devise, if you didn't do the things that, create wealth, create new wealth, government wouldn't have anything to tax. So it's your money to begin with. So CBO is saying, yeah, we lost out. We're going to lose out on $2.4 trillion. If the tax rates don't go back up to the old rates pre-2017, then, yeah, we're going to. But, you know, it does add to a deficit over 10 years. But what they're also not scoring is the dynamic changes that come in from the tax breaks causing more economic activity. So the economic growth comes from like what Trump and us are doing with trying to get manufacturers to stay in this country. You just saw maybe where John Deere is, a few months ago or a year ago, they were all talking about building their factory in Mexico. Well, I was thinking about maybe I'm going to quit buying John Deere products if they're going to start building stuff instead of Iowa, instead of Illinois, places like that. Maybe I have to start looking at other brands because that's, you know, that's kind of a cornerstone thing for, I think, in our economy. Like we've got to build our tractors here for the most part. Yeah, there's some foreign stuff, but, you know, that all said, this is going to spur economic growth. We saw that success under Trump the last time. We saw it under Reagan a lot of years ago, that when we do things that are positive for business, for positive for investment in this country, and Trump has seen a lot of that with these trips he's made to the Mideast and talking, you know, working with other countries on that. And yes, even the tariffs have helped to shake the rust off a lot of this too. Everybody's panicked about the tariffs, and indeed it's a concern, especially for those folks here that have to import certain products or those that are exporters to countries that are retaliating with tariffs. But it's an issue that dynamic scoring is not really allowed to be part of that in CBO as well. So we just take the worst of both sides of that in how this is scored. $2.4 trillion over 10 years averages out to $240 billion per year, right? And so when you put it down on a per-year basis, that's a pretty small number compared to the $2.1 or $2 trillion that we've been overspending under the Biden era in things such as the so-called Inflation Reduction Act and other measures. You know, we were able to block some of that spending when we didn't have the House majority of the Senate or the White House, and now it's our opportunity and duty to try and really narrow that gap. I hope we can come out of this $2.2 trillion deficit and at least knock that number down to 1.5, 1.4 or something in this coming year and say, yes, we've done the good things with the border, with investments in this country, with trying to take the regulations down to something a little more reasonable, have energy, domestic energy production, invest what it takes to control our border, for crying out loud. All those are going to be positive for the American people and for our economy and for the cost of doing business. So CBO, yeah, and the newspapers love to write, it's going to be more deficit, but all the things that are coupled with that are going to strengthen the economy. We're going to see GDP go up. We're going to see the rate of inflation, as it's already doing, going down. So, you know, I mean, that's the way I want to try and do this. If it doesn't work, you know, over, say, 6 years or something like that, then I guess we can go back the other way and spend ourselves to death and put these guys in charge that are more concerned about, I don't know, having boys on girls sports teams or, you know, naming trees or that CO2 is somehow going to be the end of civilization. So, you know, it's ridiculous what they're coming up with on the other side. I don't know how they win elections doing that, but we ain't perfect on our side, and but we're solving something that is much bigger and a long and decades in, you know. So, and I'll say, you know, I've been here for 12 years and 150 days or so, and the whole time I've been here, it's like, yo, we're gonna this plan we're working on will balance the budget in 10 years. Like, oh, 10 years? Why can't it be 3 or 4 or something like that? That's just because you can't sustain the elections and the members, the majorities or the people in the House that are going to have the continuity for that long, it seems, you know? I mean, China does things in 100-year chunks. We do things from 2-year to 2-year election chunks is how we do it. And that's why part of the issue. I guess that was kind of a long monologue there, but that was it.
Well, you know, the thing about it is that is what happens. Is every 4 years or 2 years, we swing from one side to the other. And it's amazing that we can still get anything done. Instead of saying, okay, here's our 10-year plan. Let's all, you know, let's all buy into this to build a better economy, a stronger economy, so that our paying off of our interest on our national debt doesn't equal how much we're putting into the Department of Defense. I mean, at some point, it becomes totally unstable.
If we don't do more about that at a point, if interest rates get out of control for us, you know, the national debt has to pay interest too.
Yeah.
And if just a few points of interest increase will devour our discretionary portion of what we spend, you know, which are discretionary things that aren't already locked in, such as the Social Security and the health programs and things like that. Our discretionary part is about 30% of what we control back here. The rest of it is in a different form or another of cruise control. And that's where defense comes out. That's where highways comes out. That's where controlling the borders comes out. That's where a lot of things that we really need come out of that 30%. So, I mean, we're in a bad way. And this COVID era and the Biden era, just putting it on warp 10 on spending, has really, really made it a tough thing to come back from. And so, you know, we're going to get raked over the coals for trying to do the slightest things. In Ag Committee, when we're talking about the SNAP program, otherwise known to many as food stamps.
Hey, sir, can we take a quick break? Let's talk about SNAP, because I've read on both sides of that, you know, and that people are saying things, and then you go back and you look at the facts that that's not exactly what's happening. So, yeah, I would like to address that. But this portion of the show is a place that I'm going to get Congressman LaMalfa to someday, and that's Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right. Founded in 1960. Been in the same location since 1967. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from the old Lucky Millers. This is not a hair salon. It's a barbershop. It's a great barbershop. The only one I've gone to. I make an appointment by giving them a call at 530-244-9478. To get a great haircut. It's man's last stronghold. And they trim beards, they trim mustaches, and they give great haircuts, Congressman. It's man's last stronghold. We'll be right back.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, Redding, save big on Fat Bear Diner's new basket bundle. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Join us Father's Day weekend, June 14th and 15th. It's the perfect place to celebrate and treat Dad to fun, food, and family. Black Bear Diner also added four brand new and returning classics to the menu at 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio.
Good
today,
morning.
June the 6th, D-Day, 81st anniversary of the ending of the Nazi Empire when 160,000 troops of Allied troops came across that beaches in Normandy and went on to destroy Hitler and his fascist empire. 8:35 in the morning, and with us is Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Good morning, Doug. Welcome back.
And he was starting to talk about the SNAP program when I had to take a break here. So, you know, SNAP, which used to be food stamps and got a new name for it, and the changes in that. So can you address that, sir?
Yeah, let me finish off that.
Yeah.
The big, beautiful bill part. But if we don't pass this or some form close to it, then the boomerang will be $4 trillion in tax increases. That's the part that CBO is kind of glossing over. It'll be $4 trillion in tax increases across everybody, okay?
Wow.
So we're trying to maintain the status quo. This isn't really a tax cut, unless you want to call it all the way back to 2017. It's maintaining a status quo. These aren't new billionaire giveaways like the Dems are yelling about. So with the SNAP program, which used to be known as food stamps, SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And there's a key word right up front. Supplemental. Okay? It's not supposed to be the be-all, end-all. None of these are. Social Security was never supposed to be your retirement system. And, you know, some people will want to hear this, and they're going to spin it all as like, oh, you're against Social Security, you want to throw grandma off the cliff. All this nonsense. Well, I'll tell you what, on Social Security, if we aren't looking at this, and I was talking to the chair of the subcommittee last night at dinner, we're on the rocks in 32, 33, somewhere in there like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust goes down to zero. And then you have to make some hard decisions. Do we cut benefits? Do you stop people for more? But under the SNAP program. So what we've been focusing on is trying to put a little more responsibility back into it, okay? We're not talking about cutting a benefit for a truly needy family or, you know, single mom or whoever it might be. It's putting accountability back in. So, for example, the state of California, that intrepid bunch down there in Sacramento that just does things so well, the error rate on administering it is 13%. And so we're one of the worst states that when we looked at the roster of all 50 on that. And so part of what we're trying to do is shift some of the focus on how the states administer. The SNAP program is completely federally funded, all right? All the states have to do is administer it. So I mean, if I'm handing you a wad of money, say, here, please go give this, you know, away to a whole bunch of people you know that you think need it, are you going to be that careful with how you give it away, or are you just whatever makes you feel good at the time? Now, you know, Carl, Glenn, you're people of integrity, so you probably do a really good job. But, you know, just on the average, pick your government, typical government employee, they 9-to-5 it and all that, are they going to be as day in, day out, is careful with this? Well, the result here in California is they're not. So the error rate is about 13%. And what happens with an error rate? If there's overpayments, those vast majority of those are overpayments to certain folks that are in the program. If they, when they receive those overpayments, at some point when that gets found out, they have to pay them back. It's going to come out of maybe future benefits. They lower the number, or it even goes far in the future as their Social Security, but they're required to pay it back. So if you're already in that program, you're probably, you know,
doing
what you can to make ends meet.
Yeah.
How are you going to dig in your pocket for money that you may believe was given to you intentionally? Maybe you believe you got an increase, or maybe you're just being ignorant a little bit that you should have known, like, hey, why am I getting more this month than last month? Maybe I should check before I spend it. Well, nobody does that. So they're end up paying it back. So let's say it's $70 a month or more that the overpayment was. Where are people going to dig that up, especially if you're a Californian and your fuel cost of fuel is going up thanks to some of the legislature? They're adding a 2 cent tax that have every year has already kicked in place, a 2% increase in fuel tax in Sacramento. But they passed one in the legislature that raised it somewhere between 50 and 65. I'm not sure exactly how that'll settle out. Cents per gallon, man. So what we're talking about with SNAP is that if they don't care in administering what the error rate is or how much it costs them to do it, then they're not going to be careful with it. And so people are going to get stung on having to pay it back. And the overall program suffers, and people that would be actually needy in that are going to not have as much available to them or to as many people. So we've been trying to limit that. We're trying to get illegal immigrants not in the program, which California allows to some extent. And that isn't right. It's not right to hardworking people and those that are in that situation. So I'm not here to denigrate the SNAP program for those it helps. There's a lot of people in our district it does help, especially in the rural areas that have had their jobs taken away. But what we do ask is accountability by the state on fixing this error rate, and we're building pieces into the bill on that to make them accountable and bear more of that responsibility. And then also individuals themselves. If you're able-bodied, we call it ABOD. The acronym is ABAWD. You're able-bodied adult without dependents. It means you've got no kids at home, you don't have a spouse, not taking care of a disabled person or whatever. Able-bodied adult without dependents. Then you're allowed to be on the SNAP program for 90 days while you seek work or, do something to make yourself more available to the economy, training, what have you. After that 90 days, you're not allowed to be in the program anymore. And so that's already in law. It was already set up by Congress a long time ago. But there's waivers to that. And Congress even set up a waiver that if a particular region you live in has more than 10% unemployment, then they'll waive that for a period of time because maybe there's not enough jobs available around there. It's too difficult to get a job. All right. So it's not completely heartless, right? Well, what has happened since is that there's also, unfortunately, a vagary built into the law that says if it's more than 10% or the secretary deems that there's just not enough jobs, well, they've used that vagueness where the secretary of agriculture has deemed in the past, especially under Democrat control, that a lot more regions, like take California. Under the congressional interpretation, it would have been two counties, one in Central California and one, I think, Imperial County. When the secretary loosened it up, it was about half the county. And then when it was left up to the state of California, they just waived the whole state. That means nobody in the state has to seek work if their area is deemed not enough jobs or over 10%. That's all this way. So you have a whole bunch of people taking advantage of the program that is perfectly able-bodied and should be seeking and gaining work or volunteering, okay? So that's the kind of accountability we're building in. Because I still think of a regular Joe and Jane taxpayer that is making it happen, that is taking care of things, and they're seeing higher costs of electricity, fuel, groceries, the whole works. They're tired of it, and seeing people get away with not having to work. So let's define an ABOD. Again, somebody able-bodied, adult, without dependents. Now, my wife, when we got married, she was a teacher working in the school system and stuff, and we didn't have kids for a while there. So technically, if she was kind of bringing her own income in and I was bringing my own on the farm, I really wouldn't call her a dependent in the classical sense. So in a way, I was an ABOD up until I was 34 years old and our first kid came along, when I had a dependent kid. I told that in committee. Okay, so I'm an ABOD, gang, and so that means I can sit in my house and watch the tractors go by and sit on my keister and do nothing because you give me a waiver to not have to seek work. Do you picture me as 30 or 40 years old sitting in my house doing nothing, being on the SNAP program because I don't have to because there's a waiver for the entire state? So So, you know, they were kind of quiet in the room on that one. They found some other thing to attack us on, but that was part of the argument.
There's also a couple other changes that I think Kennedy wanted to do was if you take off junk food off this thing. I mean, what a great idea that was.
It is, and it's been a long time one. That's been had some political push me pull you about that too. But I've long time wanted to move in that direction too. I mean, you talk about, you know, sugary soft drinks and candy bars and, you know, crap like that. But now we can't do that in the budget reconciliation bill because it has to be very narrowly focused on fiscal things and things that have to do with previous budgets. And why that's so important is that it allows us to pass the bill with 51 votes in the Senate instead of the 60 threshold that almost every piece of legislation requires over there. So we only have, what, 52 Republicans over there? So, or is it 53? 53. And so that doesn't add up to 60. And so the moment you have to ask Schumer for 7 votes, forget about it, right? So in this case here, to do real reforms, you know, tougher reforms that Democrats don't like, we're using this window of time with the big, beautiful bill to put these things in that have fiscal effects on a lot of different areas. You're not going to see policy changes because right now it seems like the most powerful person in Washington, D.C. is the Senate parliamentarian who will interpret whether the things we put in the bill are deemed to be fiscal only or policy changes, right?
And so who's that?
Senate parliamentarian?
Yeah.
It's an appointed person over there that interprets the rules. I don't actually know the name. It's a hired person over there.
Okay, got it.
The parliamentarian is one who interprets or makes sure that the Senate rules are being followed under the issues of the Byrd rule. There's some reason it's named after Senator Byrd. Well, I just handed the name. Her name is Elizabeth McDonough.
Okay.
She was educated at George Washington University. She was born in 1966. She's younger than me. Anyway, so this is making a lot
That's
of tough
cool.
calls.
You know what? We're saying, I don't know her name, and you go, somebody handed me the name. So you have people sitting there, like, right with their little iPads, ready to rock.
Well, I have a helper near me here just so, because, hey, I want to get these facts right for you and your listeners.
Yeah.
Right? So,
hey, Congressman, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, can we talk about, did the Department of Transportation, the Secretary, put a stake in the heart of the train to nowhere? And if we have time, address the raising of the Shasta Dam in our last segment.
Okay.
So,
yeah, happy to talk about that stuff. Thank
great.
You.
Okay, we'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Jump into summer with a huge parking lot sale brought to you by Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles. Not only will the parking lot be filled with unique items, but inside the store you'll save extra as well. Beautiful brass, antique vases, jewelry, and sports memorabilia galore, vintage clothing and signs. It's all waiting for you June 14th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center off of I-5 in Anderson. Thanks, Memory Lane.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. It's the 50th anniversary sale now, all through springtime. With all shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger, 30% off. We have a good selection of spring shade bloomers such as azaleas and camellias and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. All shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger are 30% off. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Yeah, 15 years of bringing as much entertainment as we can, as much information as we can to our area here in Shasta County. And one of the ways we do that is we have Congressman Doug LaMalfa on here once a month, and we do appreciate you calling in every month, Congressman LaMalfa.
We certainly do.
And the people appreciate it, too, I tell you. Department of Transportation, the secretary there, said that, you know, he didn't say it, but it sounds like he wants to put a stake through the heart of the train to nowhere.
Yeah, Carl, I've been trying to catch that vampire for about at least.
It's been a long time.
That was quick.
2008, you know?
Yeah.
I had legislation in the state Senate. First bill I put over the desk upon the day I was sworn in the state Senate in 2010 was Senate Bill 22 to say stop spending on high-speed rail until you actually have, you can show us an actual plan of where the rail is going to go, how are you going to get over or through the Tehachapis, where the land is. They had no plan. They just, you know, they just like, oh, let's do it. And, cause we gotta go big. California always goes big. That's actually some of the stuff they say. So, of course, the Democrats didn't let that bill out. And my follow-up bill the following year, after we found out the price had increased from $33 billion to, at that moment, $98.5 billion, I introduced Senate Bill 985. See the hook there? Kind of cute, huh? 985.
Yeah, got it. To say,
we're going to put it back on the ballot and ask the voters once again, do you want this thing that just tripled in price from what you were told just 3 years ago on the ballot. So at this moment, Carl, you're going to love this. Okay, so over 17 years since 2008 to right now, high-speed rail, the project has pulled in about $17 or maybe $18 billion through a couple of $3 billion grants from the U.S. government. One was Obama's Stimulus Act of 2009. Can you remember 2009? Anyway, that Stimulus Act of then was about $3.5 billion then, and Biden dumped another about $3.5 billion towards the end here. So there's about $7 billion. The bond itself that the voters passed by 52% to 48% was about $9 billion towards it, and they've raised a couple billion here and there through this dumb cap-and-trade law where they're auctioning the right to produce CO2 in California. So that gets about, I don't know, $1 billion a year for... So over 17 years, they've raised about $17, $18 billion towards this project. Today's price complete is about $128 billion. So they're short about $110, $11 billion right now. If it took 17 years to raise $17, where in the bleep are they going to get $110? They're not going to get it out of California, you know, maybe a few billion at a time. They think they're going to come to the federal government and say, hey, would you give us $110 billion? Like, well, so far under Democrat control, they've only got $2, $3.5 billion ones. And so, yeah, Secretary Duffy, who was a colleague of mine in the House when I first got here, and has moved on to that, which is pretty great. He's looked at this. It's so awesome and different to have, this different team that Trump has put in place. So even though him and Elon are feuding right now and it's dumb and useless, he's still got a great team in there. Man, I'm still excited about what I was hearing in the rotunda on swearing on your inaugural day. You know, so I guess this is the turbulence you get as you go. But that all said, they're looking at this thing, and Duffy, he studied it for a while and looked at it from... We had a press conference down at L.A. Metro Station I went down to with the secretary a couple months ago. That's the one where I got a tomato chucked at me by somebody I was trying to talk to anyway. So... those are the rewards for town halls, right? So, anyway. He wants to claw the money back. So he's looking to cancel a couple federal contracts that would stop $4 billion in spending right there. And since these guys have breached contracts, they have nowhere near met any of the goals, any of the promises that this rail authority is supposed to make to the federal government nor the people of California. So it's easily a breach of contract, and that's what's going to happen. So the more we can undercut the federal money that's already flown and maybe hasn't been spent yet, we have to account for how much they've already wasted out of those chunks of money. We can put a stop to this thing. It'll become so painfully obvious. Even to Gavin, is, you know, Gavin, the first week he was governor, or a week or two later, he came back here to D.C. and met with a bunch of California legislators. It was like pretty crass. And then me and Ken Calvert went in there, too, because we thought, hey, we should at least see what they're saying. And he, in the beginning of his governorship, said, yeah, we need to look at this high-speed rail thing, man. It's not really getting done. It's costing a lot more. So the truth came out, you know, in veto veritas for a week there, and then the unions and the environmentalists must have dragged them into the woodshed and beat the crud out of them and said, now he's back on board with high-speed rail again, you know, because he's all in at this point.
Well, but, you know, the thing about this is there's been nothing built. The fact is that even if it was built, it's still going to need to have supplemental funding to pay for it forever. And yeah, I don't understand where people don't understand this, that, okay, this is a visionary thing, but it's not going to work, not at this point. Now, can we move on to the raising of Lake Shasta Dam? Is that something that's going to happen?
Let's raise the mountain. let's raise the mountain so it'll be taller than Mount Whitney.
Yeah, then we can do that, too.
all right, so... Obviously, that's been a big deal to us for a long time, and I'll tell you what, trying to put money towards a water storage project in California, or really anywhere, but especially California, that is really hard money to corral. So that bond we did, and what was that, 2010 or 2012, it was a water bond, and part of it was supposed to be for water storage, building projects. You know, not just tearing down dams and things like that. But, and so that money, I call that form of money, I call it unobtainium, okay? It's really hard to get. So when we get a chance, we have a window here at the beginning of this Trump administration and this budget reconciliation in a Republican House and Republican Senate. We worked really hard to put money into the pot that different projects can draw from. Since it's budget reconciliation, we're not allowed to point any of that money towards any particular project. But this would be an eligible project, and I think would maybe have an inside track for it, you know, and nod, wink, wink, all that. But I think the fight we've had for it, we would have a very, very good chance of seeing this come about. So, but yes, it's a great opportunity. Had Shasta already been raised, you'd have another 600,000 acre feet. And all that water they were dumping in, what was it, January, February, they let 2 million acre feet out of that lake by our best calculation.
Uh-huh.
You know where that water went?
Where?
Before it went out the Delta, it went through Glenn County, to speak of, for one, and flooded their roads out because they're letting 62,000 CFS out. So, you know, talking to BOR, said, could you guys back that down a little bit? You're still going to have plenty of opportunity to dump the water out. And we're also working, pushing at them. The Army Corps of Engineers is the one responsible for flood control and maintaining that. We have something called FIRO. It's an acronym for Forecast Informed Reservoir Operations. They don't have that in place for Shasta Dam, our largest dam in California, 4.5 million acre feet. They're doing it on some small lakes here and there. Maybe they're testing it out. But that means forecasting forms means you look at the weather and see what the weather is that you're expecting as to how you should gear the storage in the lake in the winter months and early spring months, right? So you have to leave a little space in case there's a big deluge that leaves a little storage gap there, so you're not immediately dumping all the water out at one time because it's uncontrolled, you know. So we can meter out, you know, 40,000 CFS, even though there's 200,000 coming in during the peak of a storm. And so you got that, you know, rubber band effect there. We're like, okay, the lake can fill up a little faster.
Hey, sir.
But we don't have to let all the water out. So we're trying to get the Spiro system in place with Shasta, the biggest lake, and that it probably would have saved us 200,000 to 300,000 acre feet this year had that been in place. It actually, get this, it updates the manuals that they operate the dam on that were made in the 70s, okay? Our weather forecasting technology is a little bit better than it was in the 1970s, a little bit better than that movie Steve Martin had called L.A. Story, where he would just go give the same weather report every day because the weather doesn't change in L.A., right? So we need to have this dynamic weather forecasting that helps us say, you know what? The old manual from 1973 says we have to dump the water down to this level.